James chapter number 1. I'm just going to read one verse as a text and launch from there. But James chapter number 1. And we're just going to read verse number 17 and draw our theme from there. Because I want to speak on this subject. Don't wait to open your presents. Don't wait to open your presents. So James chapter 1, verse number 17, every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and cometh down from the Father of lights, with whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. You know, with the passing of Thanksgiving, we have officially begun the Christmas season, though some of you, I know, have already got your trees up, and I've been in a few houses lately that already got the tree up and everything. We're not quite that crazy. We hadn't got that far yet. But, and then you know, we had this big debate on Facebook of when we should start playing Christmas music on the radio station. Jerry over here says Christmas Eve. So, actually, we've made the switch over. And I'm going to tell you, actually, I will listen to it Saturday morning. We're driving in. I had playing on my phone. I think I've got a pretty good mix. I'm not bragging myself, but I think I got a pretty good Christmas mix going there. But like I said, we're finally in the Christmas season. You want you get past, I want to give Thanksgiving its due. It's an important day, an important idea. I don't want it to get lost in the shuffle. Now, I don't know how many of you overachievers have already bought your Christmas presents. I don't see any guilty looks there. Perhaps some of you picked up one of those can't-miss Black Friday deals. I can honestly say I did not buy a single thing this Black Friday. That's a shock deal. I usually buy something, but no, I didn't buy anything this year. Some of you, no doubt, will wait till Christmas Eve as stores are beginning to close to rush around and see what's left that you can grab. And then you walk in, act like, oh, I bought that weeks ago. You know, you just grab it there at the last minute. You know, one of the hardest things about Christmas is to wait to open presents. For me, it's not hard because I want to open presents. I get excited when I get a good gift for somebody. I can't wait. I want them to open it. I want them to open it now. I drive Becky crazy when I get a good gift for her birthday or, you know, Valentine's Day or something. Like, you need to open it now. She's like, it's a month early. I don't care. You need to open it now. I'm just so proud of myself for this present that I got. And she can testify to that. I'm terrible at this. And, you know, the better I think I did, the sooner I want everybody to open up the present, you know. Now, of course, I remember back in ye olden days as a child anticipating Christmas, and you know, it was not about what I was giving, it was all about what I was getting. Mom would wrap presents, put them under the tree just to torture us. When she wasn't around, me and Carrie would sneak over there and we'd shake and feel, and we may have even reached inside some gift bags at times. We never pulled the paper out, but we'd reach in there and feel around. And we try to figure out what the good ones were so we knew what to open first, okay? You had to get this scouted out, which was a good one to open. Leading up to Christmas, we'd do our best to convince Mom and Dad to let us open just one. Of course, we'd already figured out the one we wanted, but we want to open at least one present. That's why scouting, of course, again, was so important. You don't want to open, if you're going to open one present, you don't want it to be socks, okay? You don't want it to be clothes. You want it to be something fun, a toy or something. So sometimes she would relent, but not enough to suit us. You know, our kids have had the same struggle. I think it's scarred them for life, making them wait to open presents. And my wife's family has a tradition that we kind of carried over. The day before Christmas Eve, known to highly cultured folks as Christmas Adam, Eve, okay, they would be allowed to open one present. And we've usually done that. Then we'd open presents from the family a lot of times on Christmas Eve, and a lot of times we spend the night over at my parents' house, and this is really a great deal because he gets to play Santa Claus and not me. And so Pawpaw, he's got all the presents ready. He fills up stockings for everybody. And those usually come from whatever helpful elves are still in their shops on Christmas Eve. That's where his presents usually come from. Now, I'm all for tradition, and you know, that's basically kind of what we've worked out as a family. It's what we do. Others are sticklers for not opening a single present until Christmas morning or maybe Christmas Eve. There's that classic Christmas cartoon. There's a Mickey Mouse cartoon where him and Pluto go and they chop down a Christmas tree and they don't realize it, but that's Chippendale's tree. Y'all seen that one? It's classic. And of course, there's all these hijinks come in as Pluto's trying to get Chippendale and all this. But the ending scene to that is they begin to sing. I don't even remember. I forgot to look it up what song. But they're singing a Christmas song, Chippendale and Mickey Mouse, because they're in the Christmas spirit. And Pluto starts to howl. And then one of them, they get one of those labels. They stick it on his mouth, says, "Do not open till Xmas." And it's a great gag, and I wish that worked in real life. I would do that to some people, you know. But thinking about the season, the giving of gifts, the anticipation of opening presents, I remind you of our text. Every good gift, every perfect gift is from above and cometh down from the Father of lights, with whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. There is no greater giver of gifts than our God. He gives to us out of His great love for us. He gives us more than we could ever deserve. He gives us what we need and then more beyond that. I was looking at some different writers, and Matthew Poole, it's an old commentary, but he wrote about this passage talking about God being a gift giver. He says, "Whereas men sometimes give good gifts in an evil way and with an evil mind, God's giving as well as gift is always good. And therefore, when we receive anything of Him, we should look not only to the thing itself, but to His bounty and goodness in giving it." Now, in context, I think I was looking at this passage, looking at this chapter. I didn't read all the verses, but I think in context, you could say these gifts are received by faith, verses 6 and 7. "But let him ask in faith, nothing wavering, for he that wavereth is like a wave of the sea driven with the wind and tossed. For let not that man think that he shall receive anything of the Lord." So somebody who lacks that solid faith, somebody who's wavering, is not going to see the gifts of God, not going to utilize them. These gifts are contrasted with the sinful struggles that are born from ourselves. Verses 13 and 14 says, "Let no man say when he is tempted, I am tempted of God. For God cannot be tempted with evil, neither tempteth he any man. But every man is tempted when he is drawn away of his own lust and enticed." So the bad things that happen, by the way, basically, you know, was it Flip Wilson? You say the devil made me do it. And that's, I know it's even before my time, but you used to have, and the people say, "Well, God made me do this." You know who we can blame 90% of the time, actually 99% of the time? Go look in the mirror for when we mess up. It's usually our fault. It's usually we messed up. These gifts that we're talking about in our text, they're also contrasted with the penalty and the consequences of sin in verse 15. It says, "Then when lust hath conceived, it bringeth forth sin, and sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth death." That's not a good gift to give somebody. You don't say, here's just some cyanide. Hey, that's not what you do to someone. That's a bad gift. But that's what sin is. Sin is a poison. Sin is deadly. God's gifts give life and joy. So there's a contrast there, I believe. You see, our great God knows that we are utterly helpless without Him, are we not? We need Him. We can't make it on our own. On our own, would we have any hope of salvation? Absolutely not. We can never work our way to heaven. We can never wash away the stain of one sin. We can't do anything without Him. And by the way, we'd have no hope of living that overcoming, victorious Christian life without God's aid. How many of you have ever tried? I've told you all story many times. When I was a little boy, I tried to be perfect for a whole day until my sister made me mad. And, I kind of lost my religion there for a little bit. But No matter how hard you try, we slip up. How do we overcome? Is it character? Well, character helps. Is it discipline? Discipline helps. Is it knowing the Bible? Knowing that helps. But I'm going to tell you how you get through it. It's with God. It's with the gifts that He gives us that we are able to make it in this lives. Can we save ourselves from the penalty, the power, the presence of sin? Absolutely not. Nothing we can do that. Save for the wonderful grace of God that's been poured out to us. You see, He has given us gifts to overcome. These have nothing to do with our merit. God didn't look down and say, you're somebody special. Let me give you something. No, God looks down in pity on us and goes, you need some help, son. Let me help you. I'm going to give you a little something to help you make it through this life. I implore you this morning, these gifts that God gives, do not wait to open these gifts. They do not say, do not open till Christmas. That they're not labeled like that. There's my segue for my theme, okay? When God gives you a gift, He has a reason to give it to you. He knows that you need it. These say, open immediately, open on receipt. You know, sometimes you'll get those bills, open on receipt. God knows what we need, and then He provides for us what we need. Well, tell me and Becky, we're so scarred now in this life that we get some extra money. First thing we start doing is look around and say, okay, what's going to break? Because, you know, it's amazing how God provides right before we need it, or sometimes after we need it, but it's God's grace, God's mercy, God's goodness to us that provides. Now, I've got three things here, and this is not a deep message, but I've got three things here I want us to look at, that these are gifts that God gave us, and I could go into more, I know, but these are things God has given us. We do not need to wait to open. These are things He knows that we need. The first, the greatest gift, the gift of salvation. We have the gift of salvation. Romans 6:23, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. It's the most important gift, and it must be opened first. The rest of the gifts don't matter. You know, when I remember years ago, I don't know, I was probably 10, 11, 12, something like that. We had a Christmas, and we were over at my grandparents' house back when they still lived over there by where we live. And we're opening presents, and I opened up a little shoebox that had been wrapped up, and I opened it up. And inside, there was a couple things, and but there was a little... those little tins of BBs in pellets for a BB gun. It's like, okay, that's interesting. I don't have a BB gun. Wow, what a great present somebody got me. I don't have a BB gun. Well, guess what the next present I opened was? It was the BB gun. Okay, that present made a lot more sense once I opened up the present with the BB gun. And listen, when I'm talking about these gifts, we're going to talk about some things, but this is the BB gun we need to open first. If you want to be able to put everything into use, this is the most important, the primary gift that we have. God sent His only begotten Son to reveal His great love for us. We could not bridge that chasm that separates sinful man from the holy God, but God could reach across that span. Christ came to be the sacrifice for our sins. He was crucified, buried, rose again, ascended back up into heaven. He purchased this gift, the salvation. By the way, it's not a reward. We don't earn this. This isn't like getting a gold medal. There's nothing about this. He did it all for us. There's nothing we could do to merit this at all. That's why it's called a gift. It's not a reward. It's not a prize. It's not a trophy. Christ did it all. Jesus paid it all to Him I owe. Sin had left its crimson stain. He washed it white as snow. He paid it all, and He offers it to us as a gift if we would just receive it by faith. And by the way, I believe this gift is offered to all. I'm not one of these folks that thinks, well, God knows who's going to be saved and nobody's going to, you know. No, I think that Christ died for all men. This offer is good. When the Bible says whosoever will may come, I believe whosoever will may come. No matter where you live in this world, no matter how much money you got, no matter what color your skin is, no matter what your address is, Christ died for every soul and wills that every person that draws a breath, every sinner should be saved. He paid for it. He offers it to them. It's just up to will they accept that offer. If you have not received this gift by faith this morning, Christ is offering it to you. He's calling you to come and receive the greatest gift that there is, the gift of peace, the gift of forgiveness, the gift of becoming part of the family of God, all the blessings that come with salvation. Here it is. He's offering it to us if we would just, and by the way, say, oh, well, that's works if you take it. It's not works. It's just taking God up on the offer. I'm not meriting it because I asked God to save me. I'm just doing exactly what He told me to do. Just receive that gift. These people... You get into some of these people, they chop this stuff up too crazy, and it gets to the point where, listen, I'm going to chase a rabbit here, okay? I don't believe you have to have a master's degree in theology to be saved. Salvation is so simple. I was about 4 years old. I've seen kids about that young. It's not very common. I've seen people that mentally slow, mentally handicapped, and they could accept this gift. I've seen people the first time they hear. I've seen people that grow up in church and it takes them years to get it, but I've seen people the first time they see it, they accept it. You don't have to go to college. You know, it's so wonderful that we'll spend all eternity figuring out all the odds and ends of what happened with our salvation. It's such a wonderful deal, but all I know is I was a sinner. I was in trouble. I was headed to hell. But I knew Christ died for me and that He would save me if I would just ask Him, if I would just receive that gift. That's not that hard. Be careful. Don't make it harder than it needs to be. Rant over. Point number two. We have the gift of salvation, the most important gift. But the second gift I want to look at is the gift of the Spirit. The gift of the Spirit. Acts chapter 2, verse 38. Then Peter at this end of Pentecost said unto them, repent, be baptized every one of you in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. This is the gift of God for every believer today. By the way, I don't think the Old Testament saints had this like we do. The Old Testament talks about the Spirit moving upon someone just for times and purposes. It's a different economy in the Old Testament, the way the Holy Spirit works. Go read how He would come upon Saul or Samson or David or a prophet to do a particular work. It's a little bit different world there. But we can have the Spirit today. It's made possible because of Christ's victory over sin and death. By the way, there's a lot of confusion about what the gift of the Spirit looks like, and some people think that this empowers you to basically be like a superhuman. I don't get into that. Some people thinking talk in unknown tongues, which is strange. Every case of somebody talking in tongues in the New Testament is a known language somebody can understand. It's a language unknown to the speaker, but it's somebody there can understand it. They claim it will make you prophesy, reveal hitherto unknown truth, which is strange because the New Testament never appeals to that, and the New Testament appeals to Scripture for truth. They claim it'll make you lose control of yourself, make you gyrate around. Like, I think of those little, you ever seen those inflatable men at the car dealership that dance around? Which is strange because New Testament teaches that one of the fruits of the Spirit is self-control, is temperance. The gift of the Spirit is the counter we have to the power of sin. We're saved from the penalty of sin. How do we overcome the power of sin in our life? We have the Spirit. The Spirit guides, the Spirit directs, the Spirit convicts. The Spirit empowers the believer to overcome. The Spirit magnifies and exalts the work of Christ. By the way, Hear the words of Scripture on this. John 16, verse 13, Christ said, "For he, the Spirit, shall not speak of himself." The Spirit never lifts himself up. What does he lift up? John 16, 14, "He shall glorify me." When the Spirit is present, Christ is glorified. Too many Christians today are miserable, they're defeated, because they do not make use of the gift of the Spirit. By the way, I don't have time to go into all the depth of this, and this is you can get into some very practical, simple doctrine. You can get into some really deep stuff on this. I would challenge you, just go over John chapter 15, John chapter 16. Spend some time on those two chapters. You start out with the I am the vine, you are the branches, and talking about the relationship with Christ. Chapter 16 gets a little bit more into the Spirit. But go spend some time on those and see what we have through the gift of the Spirit. We need to strive to be filled with and controlled by the Spirit. That's contrasted many times in the New Testament to being drunk, because when you're drunk, the alcohol affects you. You act differently. When we are controlled by the Spirit, we think, we operate differently because we're being led by God. We're being led by the Spirit. It changes how we act. So we have the gift of the Spirit. And like I said, I think Christians, we don't really shy away from that because, well, so-and-so, well, there's a lot of ideas on that, but I don't want to shy away from the truth. We have the Spirit. And it makes a big difference in our lives and our ministries and our families if we would just walk in the Spirit. The third gift I want us to look at is the gift of supplication. The gift of supplication. And the gift of prayer. Philippians chapter 4, verse number 6, "Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God." This gift that we have been given of prayer. Billy Graham said this, "Prayer is a gift from God's hand, and he's given us the privilege of prayer because he loves us and wants our fellowship." You know, God did not just save us from sin and then say, "Okay, great, you're on your own, good luck." No, he doesn't even say, "Okay, you know, I hope you find your way." He does not simply leave us alone in this Christian life. He's given us a scripture to guide us, and I didn't even go into that as a gift. That would have probably been my fourth point, but I was trying to keep this short, okay? Well, we have the scripture to guide us, but think about this. The scripture, it's God's will, his mind, his character, his self revealed to us. It is God's revelation of himself to us. While it is wonderful that he tells us about himself, prayer allows us to reveal our heart and mind to him. It allows us to express ourselves to him. Some will say, well, God knows everything. Why do we have to tell him? Why do we have to ask him anything? God knows, God's in control. Why do we have to? Simple, it's because prayer is an extension of the relationship between God and man. It's the difference between listening to a radio and having a telephone conversation. That's what prayer is like. It's like a telephone conversation. It's a relationship with God. How sublime is this gift that we have access to God to bring our cares and our burdens, our needs, our desires, and lay them humbly at his feet. Joseph Scriven described it about as well as anyone, I think, can when he wrote the words to the classic hymn, "What a friend we have in Jesus, all our sins and griefs to bear. What a privilege to carry everything to God in prayer. Oh, what peace we often forfeit. Oh, what needless pain we bear. All because we do not carry everything to God in prayer." Don't need to neglect this gift of prayer. So often we treat prayer as a last resort. It ought to be the first resort. Ought to be to run to our knees and take our needs and our cares and our burdens to God. We sometimes feel like, well, it's the last thing we can do. It's our last hope. It ought to be our first hope. And if we understood the power of prayer, it would be. This is a gift, Christian, Don't leave it sitting on the shelf. Don't just get it out when the preacher comes over. You know how that is. You've got that thing stashed away that when somebody comes over, you have to stick out there, make everybody think you like it, you know. Prayer is important. This is a gift we need to open, we need to put to use. Daily, multiple times a day, anytime you need it, you need to reach out and take advantage of this gift that God has given to you. As musicians come, just a couple quick statements to wrap up. I remind you that God never promised us a peaceful life. Trials, heartaches will come. I can't do anything about that. God and his will allows those things to happen for purpose, for reason. But he has gifted to us the means whereby we can have peace in those storms. The storm may not go away, but he's given us what we need to survive the storm. He's given us reason that our heart may not be troubled when life seems to just be going crazy around us. Second, if you are struggling this morning, say, man, I don't know what to do. I'm overwhelmed. I've got this problem. I've got this burden. We all do. We can all relate to that this morning, I know. But I would say you need to take stock of what you have. It's my experience, and a personal experience, and I believe even the testimony of Scripture, that God often has already provided the solution to our problems. What about David and Goliath? David didn't go out to fight Goliath without rocks. He'd already picked up some rocks. How about when, I love when Moses, God appears to him in the burning bush, and Moses didn't say, well, I'm sorry, I can't help you. I don't have a sword. And God's like, what do you got? You got a rod? I can use a rod. No problem. 5,000 people need to be fed. Hey, we got a little boy's lunch right here. God said, that's enough. You know, God often already provides what we need. If we would just open our eyes, take stock, his goodness, he's usually already provided and given us what we need. How many times you go home, you get a headache or something, your sinuses act up, and you go to the medicine cabinet because you've already got it. You know you're going to need it. You know, God's already stocked a medicine cabinet for us. He knows what we need. He's provided for us. It may be in the Scripture. It may be a song. It may be a friend that he's provided. It may be that check out of the blue that he knew you were going to need because your tire was going to blow out. I've been there. But often look, when you feel overwhelmed, look around, because I believe God often provides beforehand what we need. Last, do not neglect the gift of salvation. That is the greatest gift of all. So, well, I can't make it in this life. I don't understand. I pray, I do this. Well, let's go back to square one. Have you ever opened up that gift? Do you know Christ? That's the most important thing that we can do. Everything else makes life easier to bear, helps us to overcome troubles, but this is the only one that affects our eternal life. This is the only one that changes eternity, is receiving this free gift. So do not neglect that gift of salvation this morning. What number there, Olin? 325 in the Baptist Hymnal. If you'll stand, we'll have a short time of invitation. A bunch of simple thoughts here for you this morning. But I just want you to remember, again, God is good to us. God knows what we need. God provides what we need. And oftentimes, if we would just look around, take stock, we have what we need thanks to His goodness, thanks to His grace. He provides what we need to make it through this life. So don't wait, don't put those things up and say, well, I'll pray some other day. Well, I'll read my Bible some other day. He's given these things for us so that we can make it through this life. He has given us these gifts so that we can have a victorious Christian life. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you for this day. I thank you for this wonderful crowd that's here today and good turnout for our church service coming off a holiday weekend. And Lord, just so thankful to you. Coming off Thanksgiving, we are so grateful. But Lord, this time, this season, I want us to remember the greatest gift ever given to us. Remember that you are the greatest gift giver and that, Lord, you provide us with so many good things, so many blessings that we should be thankful for, but also, Lord, that we should put to use, that you provide to us for purpose and you know what we need and that you provide what we need. Help us to put the gifts that you give to us in action, whether that be walking in the Spirit, whether it be the Scriptures, whether it be prayer, whatever it is, let's put those to work so that we can make it through this life. And most importantly, Lord, I know we got a lot of church folks looking out across the crowd here this morning, but again, if somebody doesn't know you as Savior, that's the most important gift to receive. I pray, Lord, that they would find it before it's too late, to open that gift and find the goodness of salvation through Christ. Lord, I pray you challenge our hearts, comfort us, and Lord, just to help us to remember some simple truths here for this morning about your goodness and the gifts that you give to us. Challenge us this invitation time, I pray, in thy holy name. Amen.